Thanks, AJ. And I don't know if you know, AJ's on staff. I'm not on staff, but he is on staff. So if you're here for the first time tonight, you want to know who one of our pastors is, that's him. The other two, where are they? Charles, why don't you stand up? And Lukey, stand up at the back there. And really nice guys. I arrived here in January 9 years ago from Cape Town, and also didn't know which church to go to. Discovered Central Baptist Church, and first thought I'd go and look around a bunch of different churches. Came here my first Sunday and never looked at another church. Okay, so there's a good testimony of this is a good place. It's a place based on God's word, with friendly, nice people that you can interact with, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy your stay here as you study in Pretoria. On our way out of the house this afternoon, my two-year-old son just started talking about Jonah going to Nineveh. A two-year-old saying the word Nineveh, I couldn't believe it. He didn't know I was preaching on Jonah tonight. I don't know how he connected those two, but I asked him where he knows that from. He says, from my Bible. And so then I said to him, well, I'm going to be preaching on that tonight, my boy. So he said, I'll help you preach, Daddy. So if I get stuck, I'm going to call him from the room at the back. Let's close our eyes, guys, and let's commit this time to God in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are the head of the church. We thank you that it's not us, because we would make a royal mess of it. We thank you that you are in charge, that you created it, that you sustain the church. And we thank you that you've designed the church in such a beautiful way, made up of us, a bunch of normal people with all sorts of problems. And yet you sent Jesus to make us right and to help us fit into a body to bring you glory. And Father, as we open your word tonight and as we look at a passage from the book of Jonah, Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would speak to each one of us, and that our hearts might not leave here the same. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at the second chapter of the book of Jonah tonight. We're going to look at it briefly because I've got something else I'd like to show you this evening. And if anybody's studying chemistry, starting varsity with any chemistry yet? No. No chemists. No potential chem one or two. Okay. So then it's really going to be a trick because you won't understand the titration. Right. So the book of Jonah, if we look at chapter 2 of Jonah, we can't just dive straight in without knowing a little bit of context. And last week, AJ started in the first chapter of Jonah. So we're going to just quickly run over that. You'll notice up on the big screen, in the first chapter of Jonah, we read that Jonah was called by God and his response is to do what? Run. Okay. He doesn't just sit. He doesn't just ignore. He runs, and he doesn't run sort of somewhere. He runs in the opposite direction. Okay, we stick it up on the big screen there. You'll see he doesn't just run a little way away. He aims to go 2,500 miles away. Okay, I didn't convert that on the map. You'll see it up there in a moment. And he goes in the opposite direction. He ends up on a boat, plans to sail across the Mediterranean Sea, gets into a massive storm. He's asleep at the bottom of the boat. The guys come and wake him up and ask him what's wrong. He tells him his situation. They say, who do you serve? And he acknowledges right there, he serves the living God who created him. And they say to him, what shall we do? And first they cast lots, and the lot ends on Jonah. And they ask him, what shall we do? And he says, throw me overboard. Now there's a guy with guts, I tell you, in a storm. You say, throw me overboard. And so these poor blokes, who they kind of like the sitting ducks there. They didn't bring themselves this upon them. And so they first ask God to forgive them for the murder they're about to commit by tossing him overboard. And they offer a sacrifice to God. And then they toss Jonah, and he ends up in the sea. He then gets swallowed by a fish. And not just any old fish. This is a fish sent by God. It's a fish with purpose. The fish was sent there to swallow Jonah. He ends up in the belly of the fish, and that's when we get to chapter 2, because chapter 2 records the prayer that Jonah prayed in the fish. Now, please note, Jonah didn't go into the water with a paper and pen or a tablet and chisel, okay? He wrote this after the fact and remembered his experience and then wrote down this prayer. So let's read Jonah chapter 2, reading from verse 1. From inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, "In my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the sea, and the current swirled around me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." There's a little visual image to take home. Jonah with seaweed around his head. "To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land." It's quite clear that God's call to Jonah and Jonah's response of running in the opposite direction was disobedience. And that disobedience stood in the way. It stood between God and Jonah. It separated God and Jonah. And we're going to look at reconciliation. Reconciliation is something so crucial to this country of ours. Not so? It's so crucial to this country. And God gives us the perfect example of reconciliation. No matter where we come from, what city, what culture, what language, what skin color, God's given us the perfect example of reconciliation. And so just three brief points tonight before we have a look at this illustration here on my right. But reconciliation with God requires self-assessment. Reconciliation with God requires self-assessment. Jonah started to realize his mess, started to realize his folly for not following God's instructions when he was woken up in the storm. Sleeping through the storm, suddenly the guys come and wake him up, and suddenly he starts to realize that maybe this has got something to do with me. Chapter 1, verse 12, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Jonah acknowledges this fact that he has caused, that this self-assessment. He looks at his life and he realizes, I've messed up, I've disobeyed God. His self-assessment takes him from a storm below deck, thrown into the sea, and ends up in the belly of a fish. And very quickly, Jonah realizes that his life is at risk. He realizes that his physical life is at risk. And yet, possibly days before, he had already gambled with his spiritual life because he had turned his back on God. He had gambled with something that you and I often don't consider more valuable than our physical lives. We so easily run out of the way when something is going to fall on us or crash into us. You see somebody crossing the road or a child walking across the road and a bus coming their way, you're going to dive across and grab them out the way because we're so accustomed to this physical life, we give it great value. And we so often ignore our spiritual lives and the great value that God attaches to our spiritual lives. Jonah was now was so concerned for his physical life. And yet, our physical lives can be taken away from us just like that. Last night, a 27-year-old Maritzburg United player, Mondi Sele, he scored the opening goal for Maritzburg United down at almost at the coast in Maritzburg. This morning he crashed his car and he's dead. There's an up-and-coming soccer star in South Africa, and his physical life removed so quickly. And yet we attach as humans so much value to it. Jonah's recognition of his circumstances helped him to start to see his disobedience. And folks, sometimes we ignore our disobedience to God. If we apply that to our own lives, how often are we disobedient to God? God tells us something, we know that he teaches us something in his word. And yet we go the other way. We do something exactly opposite. And sometimes God has to send a storm or even a big fish to get our attention. So what's the assessment of your life tonight? If you had to look at your own life, those who are here starting studying for the next 3 or who's doing medicine, 7 years, or veterinary science, ouch. Don't you want to start it out right, if you haven't yet? This is when you really start life, is when you get yourself right with God. Reconciliation with God requires some self-assessment. We need to have a look at our lives. Then reconciliation with God requires acknowledgement of sin. And man, this is not a popular topic. This is really not a popular topic. Reconciliation with God requires an acknowledgement of sin. What is sin? Simple definition of sin is anything that transgresses God's law. You can come up with 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 sins if you have a look at what the Bible teaches and you have a look at what we do in this world. Sins can go on and on and on when we transgress God's law. And people don't want to talk about it today. But in the Bible, the word sin is mentioned 430 times. Man, that's a lot of repetition. God's serious about sin because sin is what separated Jonah from God. And sin is what separates us from God. And so we need to acknowledge sin. And it's not just acknowledging sin, it's acknowledging my sin. Charles, you preached from Psalm 51 this morning. And just a few verses above where you preached this morning, David says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion." And listen to what he says, "Blot out my transgressions, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." Folks, we need to acknowledge not just sin, that sin or evil exists. We need to acknowledge that it's in this heart. It's in this heart of mine is that sin. And that's what I need to put right. I can't put anybody else's sin right. I'm only responsible for putting my sin right with God. Reconciliation with God requires self-assessment. Reconciliation with God requires an acknowledgement of my sin. And reconciliation with God requires a response. We can't just intend to do something. I work in a field in environmental science in the mining sector where if we get an audit by the Department of Water and Sanitation or an audit by the Department of Mineral Resources, and they come and audit the client, and I'm representing all the environmental management aspects for that client, and they say, "Please show us your water use license compliance audit for 2015. And I give them a piece of paper that says, "We intend to complete the 2015 water use license compliance audit in March 2016. It just doesn't fly. Intention like that doesn't fly, guys. Our intentions need to work out into actions. And so there's two ways that we can see from this passage. Jonah responds to God in prayer. There's very little else that Jonah could do inside the big fish. His circumstances dictated that a bunch of options were not options. There's not much. I don't know if he had a penknife in his pocket and he could start, you know, cutting there at the fillet of the fish to see if he could get his way out. There was very little that he could do than realize that he was in big trouble and say, "God, I'm in trouble." And if we have a look at his prayer, we're going to go through his prayer just briefly, not the whole prayer, but I just want to highlight some of the words that he uses. He says, "In my distress, I called to the Lord. In the realm of the dead," in the realm of the dead, he's already seen. I'm goners, guys. I'm in the realm of the dead. I shouldn't be alive here already. I should have been verdrunk, okay? I should have been dead in this fish and starting to be digested already. "You hurled me into the depths. I've been banished." Listen to the words. "I've been banished from your sight." And then he says, "Yet I will look again." There's a mixture of desperation, agony, and then hope and faith as he goes through this prayer. "Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head. Listen to this, to the root of the mountains." Where's the root of the mountains? Not here. The root of the mountains is in the bottom of the sea. That's where the mountains really start. Such beautiful language he uses. "The root of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me forever. It was holding him captive. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit when my life was ebbing away. Now remember, he's writing this after the fact. So he's now writing this down after he's been rescued. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. And then a little bit of advice. Listen to this. Those who cling to worthless idols, clinging to your body. I saw a dude today at the shops, muscles bulging out of everywhere. You can't help but look at the guy. And I thought, jeez, man, the emphasis in that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being fit, and there's nothing wrong with being, I should maybe take a little page out of his book. But you kind of get the impression that's his emphasis in his life. That's his God, and it so can so easily be. Being the best in your class can become a God to you. Getting the best grades can be a God to you. Trying to get the best job or outdo somebody else in a sport or whatever can become a God to us. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. If you're going to cling to a worthless idol, you're going to turn your back on God's love. That's really what it boils down to here. But I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. He says, what I vowed to you in that fish, God, I'm going to put into action. I'm not just going to have intention. I'm going to put feet onto my intention and do it. I will say salvation comes from the Lord. So reconciliation with God requires a response. We need to respond in prayer. That's what God's designed. It's our way to speak to Him. And prayer doesn't have to be something terribly ceremonious. You don't need to come into a church to pray. You don't need to go to a priest to pray. You don't need to face a certain direction or sit in a certain way. You can pray to God as you pedal your bicycle to class. You can pray to God as you sit in traffic in the morning. You can pray to God as you lie in your bed at night. You can pray to God right now. You can be praying to God as I'm preaching. Isn't it a beautiful thing that God's created this fantastic mechanism for us to speak to Him? And if we're going to respond to God, it has to involve prayer. We have to respond in prayer. And secondly, we have to respond in repentance. And repentance is exactly the opposite of what Jonah first did, running the wrong direction. Repentance is turning around from the nonsense, turning around from the idols, turning around from the stuff that's been distracting us, turning around from the sin of this world and saying, God, I'm now going to get serious. I acknowledge I need you. I acknowledge I need you. I'm going to get serious about following you. Jonah puts his verbal commitment to God into action. He goes to Nineveh. And the Ninevites were awful people. Awful, awful people. They had persecuted the Israelites horrendously. Persecuted them. They were Jonah's enemy. God says, go and preach to them about the gospel. If anything, in Jonah's heart, he's saying, yes, they can go to hell, God. They can go to hell. They can rot in hell. Don't we sometimes feel like that about some people? We hear the story about a gogo who's been raped and murdered. Or we hear about a child that's been horribly treated, molested. And hate wells up in our hearts. If you know that feeling, reading the news, you can nod your head this evening. You know that feeling of thinking, you know what, those guys, those criminals. I heard it on the radio this week. May they rot in hell. The temptation for Jonah is to think that. These Ninevites, who cares? God, why should I care about them? He obeys God. He goes and preaches to them. And they repent. And if you want to know what the response is, come next week. Because AJ is going to be preaching on chapter 3 and chapter 4 next week. And there's such a great challenge in chapter 3 and chapter 4 for your and my heart. Especially in this country of ours. Because there's plenty of hate to go around in this country. There's plenty of hate. And if you and I are going to follow Jesus with hearts that honor him, we've got to sort out our hearts before God. So come back next week to hear a little bit more about the outcome of Jonah going to Nineveh and the challenge that that lays before you and I. But the challenge from tonight is, where do you stand with God tonight? Where do you stand with God tonight? Reconciliation with God requires you and I to self-assess ourselves, our hearts, where we stand. It requires an acknowledgement of our sin, and it requires us to respond. And this little illustration, I haven't done this in years, but I grew up with my dad doing this illustration as a picky, and I loved it because it stuck in my head. And you might not see too many of these sort of things in church, but you know, I bet you if you walk next to Jesus in the New Testament, he would have picked up this, he did. He picked up this and he did that and he pointed at that and he used a bunch of physical stuff to help his disciples remember things. So hopefully this will help you and I remember something tonight. This represents a person, this glass or flask of water. I'm going to stick a piece of paper onto the back here because you're going to be able to see it a bit better. But that represents somebody's life. Your life, my life. And what does the Bible tell us? Charles preached that verse this morning again. Psalm 51 verse 5. I was a sinner not even from when I was born. That's what stood out to me this morning. I was a sinner from when my mom conceived me. There's a great anti-abortion verse right there. A soul from the time my mom conceived me. So, if we're going to look at it that way, then our life can't look like this. It's a chamors from the word go. It doesn't look all nice and clean and clear. You and I come into this world with sin in our lives. That's the problem. That's what separates us. That's what separated Jonah from God. And then we go through life, and there's a whole bunch of bad stuff. We have to be so careful. A two-year-old in the car, he hears stuff. Boy, oh boy. And he repeats stuff. Now, fortunately, we haven't heard, I don't think, I'm looking at Annie now, but we haven't heard any of this coming from him yet. So I don't know that he's heard much on the radio or stuff. But, man, this can so easily taint our lives. We come to church and we don't say anything. But then we sit somewhere with our pals. And, man, our language just goes into the gutter. And there's actually a whole lot of this stuff often in our lives. Bad language. It's not just a not nice thing. It's a sin. It's a sin according to God's standards. So it's not just a not nice thing. What about that? Pride. So easily, eh? We get proud about stuff. We get proud about stuff. I've got a friend that I'm going to only meet when I go to heaven again. I was at high school with him. And he's in heaven because of that. Fortunately, he came to know Jesus. Old Robert. Robert Kersey. Looking forward to meeting him again one day. Immorality. Don't let it sneak into your life. It comes in the secret places. It comes in times. It doesn't come in the public. This doesn't happen here easily. It happens in the quiet places. And it can happen with all of us in different forms and in different ways. Be careful of immorality. It messes with our lives. I'm just telling you this because I think it's a good idea for you to know. Sound familiar? Or I'm telling you this so that you can be informed in case. And that's sometimes the nice way that gossip is packaged. Sometimes it's just straight out, do you know what? And we pour forth gossip. And then this has destroyed thousands, millions of people's lives and families. There's little kids who hate a can of beer because it reminds them of what their dad did to them growing up. The abuse of alcohol. Awful. And then, you know, this person starts to look at their life. They start with a self-assessment that we've learned about tonight from the book of Jonah. And they start thinking, man, there's something wrong here. I got to do something. So he decides, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do is go to church. And then I'm going to change my attitude a little bit. And I'm going to be kind. And I'm going to try and look a bit better. I'm going to cut my hair and shave my beard. And I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to try all of these things. I'm going to be more friendly. You know, I've been a grumpy oak, like some of those English cricketers. And I'm going to try and be more friendly. But the reality is, folks, it does nothing to the inside. Those are all outside things. Those are all outside things. If you look in the book of James, James tells us that we got to have the inside changed and the outside stuff must come out of the inside. This stuff must come out of Jesus in our lives. So to start here is pointless. To start here is pointless. It's not going to do anything. And then we think, well, I'm not just going to go to church. I'm going to be serious about it. I'm going to be serious about, I'm going to go every Sunday. And I'm going to go to Bible study. And I'm even going to pray if they ask me. And I'm going to commit to, I'm going to read Bible verses, man. If you get in my car, you're going to see a piece of paper with a Bible verse on my dashboard. You're going to think, yes, this Oaks, he's a seriously religious guy. And so you think, well, if I have this effect of the church or the effect of religion or the effect of Jesus in my life, it's going to change. It's going to do something. We can have that kind of approach to trying to fix our lives, or we could have this kind of approach to trying to fix our lives. We can put Jesus here. We can put Jesus where we like him. But the Bible teaches us that it's only when we accept Jesus in our lives. When we accept him in our lives, he says he has great mercy. He has great love. He went to the cross so that he could sort out our lives. And he starts to sort us out from the inside. And that is the greatest miracle. If you think, you grew up in a Christian home, maybe a lot of the stuff you haven't had, and you think, sheesh, you know, we had a little boy in youth on Friday night saying, I want to share my testimony, but what if I didn't do so much bad stuff? And I said to him, what a great question. It's not about the bad stuff. It doesn't matter if you've got one bit of the bad stuff or piles of the bad stuff. The miracle is the same. And here's the truth, guys. That doesn't make us holy Joes that do everything right. We still struggle with stuff. We still have problems from time to time. But God says, I sent Jesus to the cross, not just for the sins that you committed in the first 15 or 20 years of your life. Jesus went to the cross for everybody's sins past, for everybody's sins present, and for everybody's sins future. And if you confess your sins before God, he is faithful and he is just. And he will forgive you of your sins. Amen. And so, the challenge before us here tonight, those of you who are here starting at Varsity for the first time, if you haven't done this in your life, don't go home tonight without making that decision. I did it when I was 7 years old. Never ever look back. Never ever look back. You'll find a bunch of people here who have made this commitment to Jesus. And will tell you that that's the biggest, best decision they've made in their whole lives. So if you want to follow Jonah's path across the Mediterranean, you can do that. You'll end up in storms. You might end up in the sea or in the belly of a very smelly fish. But ultimately, the Bible tells us that you'll end up in destruction, far away from God. Away from God's presence. The only option is for us to turn around, to repent. and to reconcile with God through Jesus Christ. If you want to do that tonight, I'll be here afterwards. Charles will be available. Lukey, AJ, a bunch of the ladies will be here as well. If you want to pray with somebody, we would love to pray with you. It's the greatest thing that I can do is to help lead somebody else to Jesus. Not so? So if you want to do that tonight, don't go out. There's nice stuff to eat, but I promise that somebody will keep you something there, okay? If you're a friend of somebody who wants to come to the front, make sure you keep them a nice cappuccino and some cake and come and put things right with Jesus. Let's close our eyes. Father, we want to say thank you for your word. Thank you for the story of Jonah and for what you did in his life. And Father, we pray that you would help us all, every single one of us here this evening, to understand the gravity of what it means to know you as a Savior. Father, I pray if there's anybody here tonight who hasn't yet made a decision for you, that you would convict their heart, that they would not walk away from you, but would walk towards you tonight. With our eyes closed this evening, if there's anybody here tonight who would like to be spoken to, just put your hand up. If you would like to be spoken to after the service, if you want to put things right, thank you. Father, we pray that our hearts would be changed and renewed through the power of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Tim.